And welcome to the live streaming broadcast. And it is supposed to be on air, but I am hearing... Oh, it's because it's late. There we go. Turn the stream off. And I'm now going to add the tonight's guests. Now, before we get too far into this, I should say that we are starting a new, regimen or whatever tonight, starting tonight, where Honey from my Honey Wears Plaid and I will be roughly alternating weeks where we do this, do the live shows. He'll be doing it roughly 1 week, and I'll be doing it roughly the other week. Now, I'm a little vague about that because he's probably going to be doing the next 2 weeks in a row, and that'll happen from time to time. But in a sort of general sense, we're going to be doing every other week, and we will see how that goes. And, of course, he's doing that super-duper wine tasting this evening, which is, I'm sure, a lot of fun. But, and I also should say that this is Amarin's podcast episode 235, and I'm going to do this unedited, so hopefully it will work. But joining me this evening are the one and only wonderful Donna Sugars. Hello, Donna.
Hello, my darling.
And how are you this evening?
I'm very good. I'm so excited. I love being on podcasts.
Indeed.
Yay.
And also joining us is Veritable Virgo. Hello.
Hey there, folks.
And how are you doing this evening?
I'm pretty good. We're waiting on some stormy weather here in New England. So hopefully that won't interfere with my ability to stay on the show.
Well, we'll see. But coincidentally, that actually touches on a subject I was kind of curious to talk about. Now, Donna, you live in California. That's correct,
yes.
Right? Yeah. Well, as you may all recall, we recently had a fairly major earthquake in the South Island of New Zealand. And that got me thinking about the whole idea of being prepared for emergencies of one sort or another. Now, in New Zealand, we're taught to have, or told, I should say, to have a kit, an emergency kit, so that we've got food and water to last for 3 days in the event of an emergency. Generally earthquake, but it could be volcano as well, that sort of thing. And the idea is that the government will be able to get supplies to you, like drinking water, in 3 days, but you better be self-sufficient for 3 days just in case. So, because this is so ingrained here in New Zealand, I don't even think twice about it anymore, but it occurs to me that it may not be so much in the U.S. And so I'm wondering, if there was an emergency today in where you live, would you be prepared for it?
If it was earthquake, yes. I know they always say it, because when Northridge happened here, which it was, I was in elementary school a long time ago, they had done the, California had done this big push to get people prepared for earthquakes. So we have plenty of 5 gallon containers of water. We have enough water to keep us going for a while. We have our first aid kit, food. There's bags in all of our trunks that have water, food, emergency things, batteries of that sort, flashlights. So when it comes to my family, yes, we are prepared, but God knows about the rest of these Californians.
Yes,
that's another issue. If Starbucks isn't selling the emergency kit, I don't think any of them have it.
Well, we actually are starting to have home centers selling emergency kits with batteries and flashlights and radios and all that sort of stuff all together. But what about you, Veritable Virgo? What is it like where you're at?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I don't have a disaster kit prepared, and I would need to go out and purchase quite a few things, I think. There's food in the, in the cupboards and so forth, and you could subsist on that for a little while. But at some point, you really start to realize you don't have certain things that you need, especially if power's out for extended periods of time. And, once the contents of the refrigerator spoil and so forth, and I have pets, and, I wouldn't be prepared right at the moment.
Well, that's probably true for people in large chunks of the U.S. Right. And, of course, one of the things I like to remind people of is that the biggest earthquake that ever struck the lower 48 happened along the New Madrid Fault, which runs from Missouri underneath a sports stadium in Memphis and then beyond there. And when that happened, it supposedly rang church bells in Boston.
Wow.
But it was so long ago that there just weren't that many people around. And it has been said that the wind resistance building codes in Chicago are more stringent than the earthquake resistance building codes in San Francisco. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what they say. So theoretically, Chicago would survive that sort of an earthquake. Yeah. St. Louis may not.
Right. I know in Boston, the if they ever had a major earthquake in Boston, that the apparently the ground that a lot of the like the financial district is built on and so forth has it's all been filled. In other words, it was. I don't know if it's like was really swampland or marsh. There'd been some stories about it being an old you know defunct volcano and things like that. But there's a process. There's a thing called liquefaction, I guess.
Yeah.
And when a lot of that's filled in land with soil that's been transported in and the ground shakes, well, it's almost like quicksand.
Yeah.
And the buildings actually sink into the ground rather than collapse. So that's a scary thought that I never want to experience.
Well, there actually was quite a lot of liquefaction in Christchurch, and I've heard about that before. I've heard about that in the there was the San Francisco earthquake of a while back. I don't even remember when it was, where they were talking about that as a specific problem. But what I hadn't seen before is in Christchurch they had what amounted to sand and mud volcanoes almost. When the earth shook, it forced all the sand and mud and water out of the ground and covered everything that was around with this goo that had to be cleaned up.
It's very scary, you know, just. But for us tonight, we're actually getting the storm that came through the Midwest, and when it was in the Midwest, it spawned several tornadoes and produced softball a sized hail. So now we're not expecting that level of severity, but you know, thunderstorms, you know, the typical thunder and lightning and heavy winds and torrential rain, it's all on the way for us.
Yeah, and that sort of thing is harder to be prepared for.
Yeah, exactly.
But on the other hand, unlike earthquakes, they're at least predictable. You can see that there's a weather center that's developing.
Right.
Now, Donna, I'm not actually really sure. Is California much at risk for ocean-bound storms?
Not exceedingly. You always hear about the possibility, but no, we've never really had the giant hurricane-like storms that the Gulf deals with. I mean, the only real thing that we have to deal with is we deal with heat and earthquakes. That's all California gets.
Okay. Hang on one second. I need to make a quick switch, so I'm going to release this for a second because I've just seen in the chat room that they're only hearing my side of the conversation. So let me do...
Well, oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to release you for a second, so hang on one second. Okay, now I've changed that, and everyone else may want to talk. It has to do with whether you're hearing it in stereo or not to the listeners, but we should be okay now.
Okay, ooh, is there like a Donna echo? Hello, hello, hello.
It'll take them 7 seconds. Some of them could only hear me, and some of them could only hear you all, apparently.
How interesting.
Yeah, I know, isn't it?
And hopefully they'll tell us when they start to hear us.
I don't know how that's possible, but I mean, work it out, girls.
Well,
I think it's just selective hearing. They only hear what they want to hear.
Well, that's probably true. For the benefit of those who were listening live and had the earlier sound issues, I was using a different setting so that I would be able to boost the sound of the Skype people to improve the sound. But that obviously didn't work. So we're back to the normal way of doing things. Good thing I'm prepared for disasters.
Yes. Your podcasting disaster prepare kit.
Exactly. This has been a message from the emergency podcasting system. If this had been an actual emergency.
I wonder what would come in that kit. I mean, other than, I mean, I think it's just going to be Arthur in a box or Daniel in a box. With booze, just bottles of booze. That usually solves all my problems.
Yes, it usually works. And the audio would be all of Big Fatty on an endless loop.
That's right. It would probably there'd probably be a waterproof smartphone container because with an iPhone or an Android phone, you could probably carry the stream anywhere. So
there you go.
See?
You make it sound like the Olympic torch of podcasting. Just I'm going to carry the stream through the storm.
Hey, well, when everything else craps out, we might be the podcasting emergency preparedness network.
Yes, when there is a zombie attack, I'm going to be on here screaming, see? Run for the Costco! Go, girls!
Well, actually, we probably should use Pride 48 more for events that happen. We haven't very much. Yeah. I mean, Wes Stone had his, what did he call it over Labor Day weekend? Muscular atrophy telethon, I think he called it.
Yes.
Yeah. But we just don't do that very much, and maybe that's something we should look at. But, you know, we're trying to get better
organized. Now you raise money, darlings. You just keep having Big Fatty just eternally on the loop, and people pay to get him off.
Yep. That's not a bad idea.
Oh, goodness. We'd cure cancer with that money.
He was on earlier when I turned on the stream. Talking about buying clothes before his trip to Scotland. I said, no, I've already heard that before.
Yeah, the updating of the recording parts is sort of kind of slipped in recent weeks. Actually, pretty much since the event itself, since the Pride 48 marathon. Daniel's been quite busy, and at the moment, there's nobody else who is dealing with it, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. But we're going to start gearing up on some of that again. You know, there are more people to try to get involved in it, more people to kind of join the party, and so, And Tara in Michigan is saying in the chat room about Daniel disappearing, and that's basically when it happened, and that's true. He's been apparently quite busy recently, and since I don't play the World of Whatever TM, I don't run into him, so.
I see him twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, when we're there for our raid. I didn't realize he wasn't in the podcasting world, but I do see him in my WoW world.
Well, you have to say hi from his podcasting friends and family.
Right, let's have a telethon to find Daniel.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say he could be listening, but he probably doesn't listen.
Would we call that Where in the World is Walkahol?
Oh, I know where Cindy is. Jean. I call her Cindy. It's her WoW name.
Which, anyway, I won't say anything naughty. Daniel keeps trying to get me to join World of Whatever TM, but I just can't quite seem to get myself motivated to really do that.
It's addictive.
Yeah, I have on my Android phone. I have it's similar to Words with Friends. Mm-hmm. It's called Word Feud. It's basically the same thing.
I love it.
Yeah, but you know, I'm overwhelmed sometimes. I mean, I only play at the most. I've only played three games, but you know, with everyday life going on and work, and I sit there and like I don't have time for this. You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it seems it seems to auto resign some of the
games
if you don't play them in enough time. Yeah,
well, that's rude.
It's very rude.
Well, when I first started playing Words with Friends, I think I had like 10 games going at once or something, and I worked out that if you played only 5 minutes on each one, that's the better part of an hour that you're spending on that. And that's only with one round each. And at that time, because I never really played Scrabble, it was taking me a bit longer than 5 minutes per game.
Yeah.
But I'm past that now.
I have two games listed here. One was with Drew Ragey, and the other one was with Haunt Cub, and it said you resigned on both of them.
Oh.
Plus, it was like 24 hours ago for each one of them. So that's kind of rude. It just kicks me out after a while.
Yeah, because my
I don't know what it is, because some of mine have resigned me after a day, and some of them have been 2 days, a week. And I've got games that I haven't touched a damn thing in like 2 weeks, and it's like, come on, it's your turn, hurry up. I mean... Who knows?
I wonder if there's a setting in there that I'm not aware of. I'll have to poke around.
Yeah, there often are. I was upset with my iPod the other day. Yesterday, I guess it was, because I long, long time ago, I saw that there's this free app for a Sega Columns game, sort of classic or retro sort of game. And I downloaded it, and this is even before I had an iPod Touch. And I couldn't install because I couldn't figure out. Well, I finally figured out how to do that, ultimately, from iTunes. And I was playing it for the past couple days. It's a bit buggy, but it plays. And there was an update. So I updated it, and one of the things it says is, Oh, it may not actually work, and if that's true, then just delete it and re-download it. I'm thinking, what? Well, sure enough, it stopped working, so I had to delete it. I was very put up by that.
Tara just said in the chat... Oh, I'm sorry, Tara just said in the chat room, in a short period of time, it auto-resigns. So I asked her if she knows how to change that.
And we're waiting.
Yes. I feel like this is the podcast that we no longer can say it by its name because we're talking about a Scrabble game on our iPhones.
Right, see?
Yeah.
I'm having flashbacks.
Yes, well, I'm not spending hours talking about a game, I'll tell you that.
Should we recognize the folks in the chat room?
Well, it couldn't hurt. At the top of my list, anyway, is Nessa, who is the sheriff for the chat room today. Hello, Nessa. I made a funny.
And then there's yes, you did. Hello, Nessa.
I don't know how to read that. And chat one, and chat. I can't quite read that too well. Anyway, Ant, me, of course. Donna, Lord Byron of Illinois. Tara in Michigan. Tardy for the part E. Toppy Smelly. And, of course, Veritable Virgo. Hello, everyone.
I think tardy for the party is Wes Stone.
I was thinking it might be, too, because it was the only one who knew that it was called the Muscular Atrophy Telethon or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and he did just tweet me saying that he was on his way.
Oh.
Oh, and he's trying to be mysterious. He sent me a tweet saying, can you tell who I am in the chat room? Oh, I win! Ding, ding, ding! Fabulous.
Yeah, well, Wes doesn't usually get to, doesn't often get to join these shows because he very often gets home later than they start because, of course, my Honey Wears Plaid wants to start these at 7:30 Eastern. Which is, what's that in California? 4:30?
4:30, yes.
Which is awfully damn early.
Mm. But, well, not for me, darling.
Well, no.
Everyone else that works 40 hours a week, yes, it is.
Well, for me, it starts at 11:30 a.m. But, of course, their clocks are going to be changing soon, so then it'll be 12:30, and then they'll change, you all's clocks will change, and it will become 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I forgot that is coming up. Ugh, yes. I hate that. It always takes me forever to readjust my sleep schedule.
Well, our clocks will be springing ahead, of course. That's one of the things, I think I've talked about this on my podcast, maybe Honey's as well. One of the things that really bothers me sometimes about New Zealand is we don't have fall, we have autumn. And the reason that matters is because nobody can ever remember which way to turn their damn clocks. Say, now, do we go ahead or back? Spring ahead, fall back. What?
Yeah, exactly. I say just leave the clocks alone.
Well, it would be handy if they just picked a time and stuck to it. Maybe they could split the difference between the two or something.
Well, last year they updated, they changed the times, I guess, that those, or the dates when those time changes triggered. Hmm. And certain devices that were... like pre-programmed or went off of the time broadcast signal, and they didn't. Some of them didn't have software updates. I mean, I have a clock out in my living room that never received a software update, and it always looks at the old time and not the new one. So it serves no real purpose that they sort of messed with all of this and didn't provide updates to all the devices.
Yeah.
Now, what I don't understand is what those countries that don't use this system, that don't do the time changes, I don't know how those countries can function with countries that do that. That would confuse the hell out of me. I mean, I can't figure out my computer, let alone dealing with time changes. And
you mean those third world countries we don't care about?
Well, I actually have some trouble with that, too, because... North America changes their clocks at one on some dates. We change our clocks at different dates. Australia changes their clocks on different dates again, and not all of Australia, just like not all of the U.S. changes their clocks. Not all of Australia does. I think it's all of Queensland doesn't. So not only do you have to know when the country changes, but you have to know if every part of the country changes. it gets really confusing.
Right, because I think, is it Arizona here that doesn't change, that doesn't observe or something?
Neither does Indiana, apart from the counties up by Chicago, county or whatever it is, like Gary and all that area.
Right. So that does get kind of messy after a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I find it difficult. But I mean, on my Mac, I have this widget called, what's it called? Time Scroller, I think it is. I'll just turn it around to find out what it's called. Yes, Time Scroller. And I highly recommend it because you can set whatever time zones you want in it, and you can plan meetings with it. It's just a quick and easy way of doing it. But on the interwebs, I use timeanddate.com, which has all of that stuff built in and also tells you when the various time zones change their clocks. But if you use something like that, then you don't really have to worry too much about time changes. And if you use the meeting planner to arrange a time to meet up with somebody, I presume it takes into account any changes in the clocks that may happen in the meantime.
But, so that's a widget on your Mac desktop then?
Yep.
See, I don't use the dashboard that often. I've never gotten used to it. Maybe that's the last thing I'm hanging on to from the Windows operating system.
Well,
I never got used to that.
Yeah, I didn't at first either, but I found so many useful things that I've started to. I mean, there's a calculator there. It's not as good as the actual calculator application. But, you know, for basic quick thing, it's not bad. But I have Time Scroller, which is the thing I use the most probably, and I also have a translator widget. I think that's a standard one. So when all of these people tweet things in foreign languages, and I don't know what the hell they're on about, I can at least get a rough idea. Although sometimes it's the translation is funnier than it would have been in the native language, especially if it's from Chinese or something.
Yep.
And I also have one that I got, which is also available for iPhone, which calculates percentages.
Oh.
So you can go either way. You can either say you've got a number and you want to know what 80% of that is, it'll tell you. Or if you know the number and the result, but you want to know what the percentage is, it'll work that out as well. It's really very flexible, so I quite like that one.
Yeah, translation is funky. Like yesterday, Gravitas posted a Mr. Brazil contest video. They were all in their swimsuits or something. And he said, does anybody know how to say eye poppy in Portuguese?
Whoa, wait, what now? Who posted some photos of some people in some bathing suits?
Gravitas. It was a YouTube video. It was Mr. Brazil contest or something.
Gotcha. Why do I always miss these things? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I'll find the link and I can send it to you. So he was asking, how do you say eye poppy, you know, the Spanish phrase in Portuguese. So I started playing around with AltaVista.com translate, and you know it doesn't translate smoothly.
Oh yeah,
because it sort of means like, "Hey, daddy," you know, or something like that, and it's always done sort of in this, you know, almost usually in a sexual context rather, you know. But oh, and it started to rain here already.
There you go.
Oh, yes. I want it to rain here. I love the rain.
I'll send you my rain.
I keep saying that I really want to move to Washington where it rains all the time and everyone says, it's so depressing, you'll kill yourself. No, I love the rain. I hate the heat.
Yeah. I
hate it here.
Well, I have friends who live in Seattle and they've been there for a very long time now and they're all still doing well, so apparently it's not automatic.
So Toppy Smelly says it's raining in upstate New York, too. So they were getting some really bad weather in New York. I think Brooklyn and Staten Island had tornado watches.
Ooh.
Yeah, scary stuff.
We have a massive, well, let me rephrase that. We have a big storm off the South Island. I think it's about 1,000 kilometers away, so it's not close. But apparently it's big enough and strong enough that it's going to be causing gale force winds in parts of the South Island, including possibly even Christchurch, where they still have earthquake damage. And it's going to be causing rain all over the country. But the media was referring to it as a massive storm and the biggest storm on the planet and all this sort of stuff, even though it's not, well, in the Southern Hemisphere, hurricanes are called cyclones. But anyway, it's nothing like that. It's just a very big storm, apparently. And so our weather service, the government weather service, issued an advisory saying to people, the media in particular, stop calling it a massive storm. It said, it's going to rain in some places. There are going to be winds in some places.
It is the storm of the century.
Exactly. They were getting really carried away. through places like Twitter.
Of course. The media lately likes to sensationalize everything. It's just, they become a joke, you know.
Yeah. I just got distracted again because I was checking the Twitter, which is talking about, and I forgot what it was called already.
Well, I have Skype open, I have Twitter open, I have the chat room open.
Yeah, I have to keep minimizing things. And
I'm so glad I have two monitors, because if I didn't have two monitors, my life would suck. Oh, it'd be so confusing trying to jump from thing to thing on one monitor.
Yeah, Nigel uses two monitors for his Third Colony show, and he's got, I don't really know what he does, but he's got like the mixing stuff that he does for the songs in one monitor and everything else in the other.
Well, thanks to my, I have the 24-inch iMac. I can fit quite a bit on this screen, thankfully.
Yeah. And John Ong has just joined the chat room.
Okay.
And I'm just sending a message through the chat room to see if he wants to join us. I don't know, how long have we been on? Oh, actually, I can't tell you that if I look over on this little thingy. We've been going for 26 minutes.
Okay. I have 35, but then I was probably on...
Slave kid, huh?
You mean recording for 25?
Yes. Well, actually, live on the stream for 26 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Because I rang you guys a little bit ahead of time, and I wanted to wait until the song ended. And that's right, we did have the sound issues. And then I had sound issues when I started streaming anyway, so...
What did you say, Donna, about slave something? Oh, slave pit.
Q Sledge is home from the slave pit. That sounds fantastic. I would just call my home the slave pit. Let's go.
John Ong raises a good point in the chat room. He's saying to ask people to call their senators. The vote on Don't Ask, Don't Tell is coming up. And I don't know what day it is in the U.S. because I'm confused about all of that. But do call your senators about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, regardless of what their position is. It doesn't hurt to get a, an affirming voice for those who are supporting it. And there may be some who are kind of wavering. But I bet you that there are some who might be kind of, John Ong says in the chat room, the vote is Tuesday, so you've got some time yet to call your senators. And... Okay. You know, there may be some who are kind of sitting on the fence, and if they get enough calls pushing them, they will come around and vote correctly on that.
Yeah. I find a lot of people are hesitant to call their legislators. As almost they're really afraid of not knowing what to say, and in many cases, fearful that it's the legislator themselves that will answer the phone when there's almost no chance that that's going to happen. It's usually a legislative aide that will just take certain demographic information from you and then listen to what you have to say. I work in social services, and I'm always telling my staff that they need to call their legislators around budget cuts and so forth, and I see the hesitant nature of their response.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, hey, well, you know, I can't make you call, but if there's a severe budget cut, I also can't guarantee that the jobs are going to be here after those cuts, you know?
Yeah.
That usually motivates them.
Just call me a bad homo. I don't even know who my representative is.
Well, your senators right now are Dianne Feinstein, however you say that, and Barbara Boxer, who's running for re-election.
Yeah. See, in my home state, we have a where do I vote with the name of the state .com or .org, and it I think it goes to the Secretary of State's website, and then you plug in your zip code and so forth, and it tells you who your elected officials are.
Yep. And you can also find that out by going to the websites for the House of Representatives and U.S. Senate as well.
Yep.
You can find out who your person is by zip code, and which is very handy. If I actually had a complaint about the way that Congress does things, it would be that very often you can't send them an email directly. You have to go through a web form to contact them, and it always wants an address, and it only will accept a U.S. address. Now, for a member of Congress, you might think, oh, yeah, well, you have to live in the state and in the district in order for that to in order for them to really care. But the problem is that people, American citizens like me who live overseas, still have two U.S. senators and a U.S. representative, and it makes it very difficult for us to contact them. All we can do is phone, and that's an international call, of course, or send them a fax, which is an international call, and that's it.
Now, I don't know if it's a personal question to ask, but how does that work? Now, are you technically a citizen of both countries, or are you still an American that lives in New Zealand? Have you abandoned America and you're a New Zealand citizen? Like,
that's
gonna be me soon. I'm gonna abandon this damn place.
I'm what's called a dual national, which means that I'm a citizen of both countries. Oh, that's the dog. Sorry about that. I was obviously born and raised in the U.S., so I'm a natural-born U.S. citizen. But I was also, I came to New Zealand in 1995 to be with Nigel, became a permanent resident in 1999, and then a couple of years later, well, more than that, 2003, I think it was, I became a citizen. And the main reason, hang on one second, I just need to get this. I've got John Ong here is ready to join us. I'm going to join him, to the chat first so that he can
communicate. And I'm going to go check my windows. I'll be right back.
Okay. So sorry for the brief lull in the conversation, people, but...
Oh, please, Wes. There's nothing bi about him. He's about as gay as I am, darling.
Who are we talking about now?
He said that he heard you say that you were bi.
Bi-national.
Yes. Get that right.
Now, this is the part that always messes me up every single time, is how to add someone to an existing call. Okay. It always, always gets me.
Isn't it like an add to conference?
Yeah, something? But I always forget how to do it.
Okay. And I've never done it, so I'm no use other than mentioning that. Let's see.
Yes, I will find it, I'm sure. But anyway, just to finish my my thing, yes, I am now a dual national citizen of both countries. But all U.S. citizens who are living overseas for an extended period of time are entitled to vote for U.S. senators from their home state and the U.S. congressperson from the district where they last lived. And it doesn't matter if the house that they were living in is standing anymore. It doesn't matter who owns it or who lives there. All that matters is that's where they used to be. And when, use this program. It's called the Federal, I can't even remember what it's called. It's changed names. It used to be called the Federal Postcard Voter Act or something, but it's got a different name now. Mm-hmm. But basically, I have the right to vote for a U.S. senator and, oh, and of course, U.S. president as well, obviously.
Okay, I was about to ask.
Yeah, any federal office, but not state. Now, I don't know if any states have any local laws that allow you to vote where you used to vote. I don't know why they would, but, And drag my icon to the chat. Oh, let's try that, see if that works. John, oh, it worked! I didn't know you could do that.
So, what is it?
Hello, John.
Hello.
Joining us now is John Ong, the world famous John Ong.
Oh, yes. Hi, everyone.
Now, for the benefit of listeners who were feeling my pain as I was struggling to figure out how to add John to the call, he pointed out very helpfully that all you have to do is grab his icon and drag it to the already existing call, and it adds him. Which is a very helpful thing to know. So thank you for that, John. I've learned something new today.
Good, you're welcome. I hope you remember.
I probably won't, but...
Just put a text file on your desktop.
Oh, that's a good
idea. Hi, everyone. Now, in the chat room and in the current conference call right now.
Now, John, I don't know if you know Donna Sugars and Veritable Virgo, but they are around the Pride 48 traps, as I would say. And, of course, John is host of Online and Ding Da Bell and Penang Hokkien.
Penang Hokkien.
Yeah. Anything else yet?
Yeah. not yet, so far. I've been contemplating, starting a food podcast.
Oh, really?
But,
ooh.
Yes, but I don't have time. But, I've been very passionate about food.
Didn't you do a video a long time ago about how to eat satay?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but a video is hard. You got to be pretty for video. I mean, you got to, like, you know, it's different. Audio, you can be naked, you can be in a t-shirt or an underwear and still do a show. But video, you kind of, well, unless that's what you want to do, but typically you have to. Typically, you can't just turn on the camera and just start a show like you can audio, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, well, unless you're that weirdo, that douchey bag from YouTube that always does his in a little underwear. What's his name? Oh, goodness.
By the way, Donna Sugars, you're funny. I love you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh my gosh, I almost said the wrong word. I listen to you sometimes through Honey. Yeah. I almost said the wrong word. Girl!
And I don't want to edit.
I know how that goes. Anyway, here's the thing.
There you go.
But anyway, yeah, call your senators. I don't know, when do you post this show?
Oh, this will be later today.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so there will be still time to do it, because I'm not going to edit. I'm going to do just like Honey and just plop the opening and outro on it and post it and hope for the best.
Very good. This might be my first time on your show.
It is. I think I was on one of Honey's, I almost forgot the name, shows a long, long time ago with you. I can't remember for sure.
Yeah, but not on your show, though.
No, you've never been on my show before. So welcome. We've popped your cherry.
Thank you.
Donna, I think, has been on before.
Huh?
I think Donna has been on before.
It's either
the same thing. I was on one of Honey's with you. I can't remember.
And I do remember being on Honey's.
And very well, I can't remember if you were on
started it all.
Yeah, it is, actually.
And hello to Vertical Virgo, too. Hello.
Hey, John.
Hi, and hi to all the live chatters.
Yes.
Yes, we have 15 in total, although one of them's X3. That doesn't count.
I saw your tweet earlier, Arthur, whether or not to cancel the show. So, but that was like 40-some minutes ago when I saw it, so I wasn't sure if you're still on, because I was eating.
Yeah, well, it was about, I think I sent that originally about 20 minutes or so, well, maybe not that long, before it actually started. Because at that time, I think it was just Veritable Virgo and me who were in the chat room, I think.
And I think you're correct.
And I was thinking, oh, well, maybe I just won't do one tonight.
Hi, people in the chat room. They're saying hi back. So nice.
Yeah, it takes
I'm very full. I might burp.
Lord Byron just said, thank God Arthur doesn't have the first-time questions. That is correct.
First-time I love first-time questions. It lets you get to know a person.
I'm a class act. I am.
Yeah, I got treated to
good
those.
Thing you're classy.
I got treated to those questions, I think, on the first, Honey's show in his one of his former incarnations, former names.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but I was never subjected to the first-time questions, and it's too late now.
Not necessarily.
Next time.
Yeah, well, I can always plead the fifth. Although now that we're alternating shows, I don't know that I will be on. Who knows what's going to happen now? It's a crapshoot. It's a surprise. It's an adventure.
It's fun. It's podcasting.
Exactly. Live and unscripted.
Now, I don't know how you people have the patience to do these live shows, because I know it takes me hours to put together my little 30-minute show, and you people that do it live, amen to you girls, but...
I think it's different. I think trying to do a show, like, you know, edited and everything, is actually tougher than doing a live show. I think it's just a two different, complete different animal, yeah. I guess. Hi, Michael Sage.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
because I'm lazy.
Well, the live shows work better if you've got at least a few topics to start out with and kind of let things.
And listeners.
Yeah. Well, like, that helps.
When we do Ding the Bell, sometimes we have one listener listening if we're lucky.
You know, I think I'd have to agree with that, the live versus the recorded, because this flows fairly naturally. And when I sit down to try to record, the first episode of my podcast, which I still haven't done successfully, I sit there and I always mess something up, and then I say the hell with it and I stop recording, and then I'll eventually get back to it. But this has a different feel to it.
Life with like Pride 48, but Life to Tape or Life to Recorder I tend to be able to do that more, even though it may suck really badly, but at least I don't have to worry about editing. And every time I think about having to edit, especially if I say something wrong, one time, this is just a few weeks ago, I have never done this. Like, for years, I said something like, oh yeah, on Sunday, I've got to go to where and work, you know? And then I realized, oh my gosh, fuck, oops, can I say fuck?
Yes, you can.
I had to go back to edit. And so, and then the whole show, I was like, oh gosh, I keep thinking about, I need to stop the show, I need to go edit it. It bugs me a lot. I never said that. I don't know why, it just came out the other day.
Well, there have been a couple of times when I've been recording a show and I realized I just said something I shouldn't have, so then I'll stop and redo it. But a couple of times, things have slipped through and I'm going, ooh, I shouldn't have done that.
Have you guys, how about you guys, the three of you, have you guys said Honey's name wrong yet? Any of you during your own recording or whatever?
No, luckily I am not.
So scared. I try not to think about it because I have to. I don't even want to have that person in my head when I do a show because I'm afraid it would just come out. And not knowing it would be horrible. But anyway, because I don't want.
That whatever. Would be the worst part, probably, if you don't even know that you've done it.
Exactly.
But you know,
it's just like Harry Potter, darlings. You can't say his name. His name is a taboo.
Yeah, he who shall not be named.
Oh, hey.
Well, you know, talk about
Nessa has to leave. Bye, Nessa.
Oh, bye Nessa.
Bye, Nessa.
Peter 69 is here.
Yes, he is, and
I've been enjoying him on Honey's show.
Good one.
Jesus.
And on the audio.
I don't know how to figure out this audio boo thing. I'm a little bit old.
Well, I subscribe to them through iTunes because I find it easier than...
How do you subscribe it through iTunes?
Well,
where do you get the link?
I've forgotten now, but I could actually...
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's actually not hard. You go to the subscribe podcast and you put the URL with a specific tag for whatever it is you want to subscribe to.
Okay.
And what most people use is they use the tag Pride48, and then anybody who wants to... post to it and use that tag, it'll show up in that feed.
Talking about Pride 48,
yes.
I've been getting listeners writing me email saying, hi, I heard you on Pride 48, and just sending me email. Because, you know, every now and then, if I remember, I would say, you know, you might be listening to this on my regular show. You might be listening to me on Pride 48. And so people have been dropping, several now, I think, have been dropping emails saying, hi, I'm listening to you. This last one was from the UK.
Oh, really?
So very nice. I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Well, the whole live thing is a whole another animal. And there are some people who will listen to a live streaming thing who wouldn't bother to subscribe to a recorded podcast. And vice versa, of course. Yeah. There are people who wouldn't listen live either.
Yeah, it's kind of like Penang Hokkien. People listen, I would say, maybe 80-90% of my listeners listen on the website and not subscribing to it and download the show. And so my website has a lot of traffic, but I kind of wish that they would. I think more people would listen when they subscribe and have the shows already ready and they can do other things. But now they have to be stuck on the computer. So Monday, that's why I post my shows on Monday, because people go to work and want to listen to that show.
Yeah.
Yes, but now with iPhones getting very popular in Asia, that's changing. And not just iPhone, like all mobile phones.
Yeah. And of course, didn't you arrange for your parents to get an iPad?
Oh, they already got theirs. Yes, I did. They loved that. My dad, oh my gosh, he's like writing me email and telling me about this game and that game that I have no clue what he's talking about. He said, oh, I beat your brother's high score or something. I was like, oh, I have no idea what you're talking about. But that's amazing. That is like a miracle. That is really a miracle, because he does not even want to touch the computer. And now he's, you know, writing me email telling me about the games that he found. So it's really amazing.
Now, how old is he?
He is 71 years old.
Oh, my. Oh.
Yes. So he doesn't like technology, but he just happened to. I left my iPad home one day, for my mom. My mom is a little bit more techy, and she's the one that, you know, does all the email. But I left my iPad home for my mom one day, and my dad was doing the World Cup, so he was wanting to check scores and see when the broadcast would come on, and so he took my iPad and figured it out himself, like, you know, went to the browser and type in search and found all his schedule. So he was telling me, I found this and found that on your iPad. I was like, wow, I have to go. And I went to the store that weekend and bought him one. So it's amazing,
good,
yes.
Good thing you didn't have any porn links on there.
My porn links? Never on the iPad. Only if I can do, what is that, what is that thing called? Private browsing.
Yes.
I always turn on private about browsing.
Firefox. Yes.
Oh. Or a second user.
Well, I may actually be getting an iPad soon.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, is it officially released in?
Yep.
In, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I remember. 2 months ago, maybe.
Nigel really got sure. one, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, on the first day.
Yep, he was the second person in New Zealand to get one.
Wow.
Was that was the first person to be on the news?
No, actually, that person didn't even make the news. So, which is funny because they'd been hyping it for a week or 2 weeks, and then the day it was actually released, it was like very anticlimactic. They did do reports from what passes for an Apple store in New Zealand, and but it was just about how it was selling steadily and they hadn't run out of supplies and blah de blah de blah.
Well, I'm waiting for an Android tablet, which I guess Samsung has announced today at some conference. It's a 7-inch tablet, so I don't think it's quite as it's not as large as the iPad, but they'll eventually have ones that are the same size.
Are you a size queen?
No. I actually
yes.
I actually think the 7-inch size for the this is probably going to go in a very wrong direction, but
I do like a 10-incher.
Yeah, the 7-inch pad is going to be just fine. So for portability, you know, and it makes me wonder why would I need a smartphone if the tablet does everything?
Yeah.
It seems like you're just duplicating stuff, but such is the world.
Well, technology. I've been thinking the same thing because I right now I've got an iPod Touch, but I may be inheriting Nigel's iPhone. And then if I do, obviously I don't need the iPod Touch anymore. But then I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to get an iPad, what is it I really need? What is it that my needs are? And of course, one of the things iPad, I mainly want an iPad for is as an e-reader.
Right. And with the iPad, you can't make calls, though, I don't believe.
Yeah. No, I don't.
You can't.
No, okay. you theoretically Skype, could with Skype over Wi-Fi or something, because I would get the Wi-Fi version anyway.
Right. Because I have...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, John.
Oh, I was going to say, sometimes I disgust myself when I find myself having my MacBook Pro on top of my chest with my iPad on top of my MacBook Pro, my iPhone on top of both of them. But it is gadget porn for me. I love gadgets.
Well, we are going to try adding Sager 69 now and see if that works.
Oh, I get to chat with him.
Ooh.
I've never spoken with him.
We'll see if that works.
Impaler. So I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait for him to come on. Then I'll talk to him.
Hello, Seder. How are you?
Hello there, everyone.
Ooh, hey, Seder. Is that Seder?
Hello.
Yes, this is a Seder. Let me prove it. Audio boo. Audio boo. You gotta give me an audio boo. See, it's me.
Is this your iPhone? It sounds pretty good.
This is my iPhone. Yeah.
It sounds very good.
Damn. Oh my.
Well, I noticed that Big Fatty had called into, I don't know if it was the LFC or what it was, but he sounded much better on that than he normally does. Which isn't that hard, actually, but...
Well, you're going to get hell for that one.
No, it'll probably make the opening of one of his shows. We love you, Big Fatty.
Well, who doesn't, really?
Exactly.
So, what is the minimum requirement in measurement to become an impaler? Or to be... known as the Impaler? I'm just asking.
Well, I am not known as the Impaler. I just host the Impaler.
Okay, so, yes. Why did you ask Impaler why?
Does that mean he's the one getting impaled? Is that how that works?
No. He does the impaling usually.
Ooh.
Mm.
Oh.
See, I told you you'd like it with sugars.
Notice how it takes so little to get us right into the gutter, darling. Favorite place to be.
Not my fault.
Well, it is a satyr you're talking to. It's to be expected.
Yeah, but so answer, Impaler. I mean, satyr. Ask Impaler.
No, it's got to be seen and tasted in person.
Ooh.
I think that's an invitation for us all. Let's go. Road trip!
Well, this is now officially taking the place of the Honeywares plaid line.
Oh, Lord.
So how are all of you? John, I don't know you. A pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Ms. John Ani is one of the original gay podcasters.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
Does he still podcast?
Of course he does.
What is the name of his show?
Online is the probably the main one, isn't it, John?
Yeah, online podcast.
Yeah, online podcast. Online, O-N-G-L-I-N-E. I thought it was one of
my last name is Ong.
Yes, I thought it was one of the most clever podcast names I'd ever seen back in the day.
But I have to explain it to people every time. So probably not a good name after all.
Oh, well.
Unless you know it already.
So when they're typing O-N-L-I-N-E, we can't find you.
Yeah, or type online and then go to this stupid site that somebody just hoard this name. And I've contacted them and I said that I'll buy it from you for $50. And they ignored me, bitches. Anyway, sorry. Oh, yes, that was one of my three podcasts. And then I also do a show called Ding Da Bell, spelled with D's. D-A, Ding the Bell, and Penang Hokkien, which is a foreign language show. Very exotic.
Hmm.
Oh, very cool.
Yes.
Yeah, John puts international podcast celebrity.
Uh-huh. I am a little bit, yes, I'm a little bit of an international celebrity.
Mm.
So we have an international podcast celebrity, we have an interdimensional podcast celebrity, we have a professional podcasting co-host, and we have the lovely Donna Sugars.
I love how I have no title. Donna
Sugars. What title did you give to Veritable Virgo? I was zoned out for a minute.
Oh, I don't know that Veritable has one yet.
Ooh. I don't.
Actually, I actually give myself a title, but it's not mine is not like, you know, the oldest or whatever. It's and not international. Well, even though I'm international, my title that I gave myself was a podcast evangelist. Because I think when it first started, I'm still doing it. In fact, I almost had a chance, if it's not because of the expensive air tickets, I would be going back to Malaysia for a Asian blogger conference or a festival, they call it a blog festival, in October to do a workshop on podcasting. But and they even want to sponsor my trip, but it's just too short a notice that I couldn't make it.
That's how you know he's an international podcast celebrity, because people are paying him to fly somewhere and talk about podcasting.
Nice.
Well, not completely subsidizing it, not completely. But I'll be doing it, but electronically. I think I'm going to use iChat or something to do it.
Well, I feel lucky if somebody just paid my way into the bathhouse.
Well, okay, if I come and watch.
Now, Sater, I don't have a podcast, but I do have a name for one.
It's going to be I are in the same boat, aren't we?
it's going to be called Veritable Voices.
Ooh, nice title. Nice. Well, and mine, if I can get off my butt and finish recording, is the Sater Cast. No, the Sater Sphere, that's it.
See, that's nice.
It is, I like that.
And I have artwork already for it, and I'd be happy to share it in the chat room if I could figure out how to do that.
I think you just paste the URL to it.
Actually, you guys, since I just met, you know, quite a few of you, I am trying to do a state of podcasting recordings with different podcasters from way back, you know, Madge Weinstein and Wanda Wisdom all the way to newer ones today. I just want to see your perspective and your ideas and, you know, somebody in between, like most of us, Arthur and so forth. Oh my gosh, I almost said that bitch's name. Anyway, so so you might be hearing from me. Because I kind of want to hear, just it's just anything that I do on online, especially things that I do and topics that I bring up on my show are things that I personally am interested in. So I just want to see what people think and how, you know, what captivated you to want to actually start a show. It'll be very exciting.
Because I'm a podcasting whore.
Yes, we've that worked
already,
that out.
I know, because you're like, what, you're on 5 shows within the last week or something?
And 2 of which haven't even posted yet. That's good times.
I bet that one is Real Men Wears Pink, or Real Men Wear Pink. Is that right?
Yes, that's one of them.
Yeah. JT sometimes takes about a month to post a show. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. JT, sorry. I don't know if he listens, but anyway.
Well, it does sometimes take him along. No, I actually don't think he does listen to me.
I'm not okay, really that's sure. Good. JT's very lazy.
Now that we know that he's not listening, we can start talking.
Well, I can't promise he doesn't listen, mind you.
Well, as his professional co-host, I have to defend his honor. He's not lazy, he's just... okay,
he's just busy.
He's busy. He's busy, yeah, that's it.
Yes, busy. He's a busy lesbian, yes.
Yeah, nothing wrong with being busy. But, you know, Sated, the other day on the Honey Wears Plaid podcast... Well, there's been so many name changes, I did have to stop and think.
I know!
You were talking about a podcast that you were plugging that night, and you were talking about how there's the Pride 48 grouping of people who sort of hang out and cross-promote and be on each other's shows and stuff like that. And then there's these other people who are out there who are doing stuff, and some of them we've never heard of, and they've never heard of us. I mean, it's, you know, two-way street. But I'm wondering, do you think, all of you, and it's a grouping to ask this of, do you think that there is a difference between those who are associated with a commercial entity like radio, or who make a profession out of their podcasting, or and the rest of us who just do it because we love doing it and don't get anything in particular out of it that way?
Yes.
Oh, most definitely. Honestly, when you get to those people that are making a career out of it, it's almost like they've got to stick up their butt. They're taking it way too seriously, darlings. If you your podcast should be fun every week. If you don't want to make your podcast every week because, like, oh God, I've got to make another show, it's not fun anymore. Don't do it. And then, trust me, people know when you don't want to do it. They can hear it over the show.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's and I do know people who do it professionally. I just think that it's just different. It's completely different. I think when we do it because we want to do it, it's a different level of it's not even better or worse or anything. It's just different. And those people who are doing it professionally, it doesn't mean that they are not enjoying it anymore, but it just becomes, I think, sometimes just a platform for them to do what they want to do. But for us who do not do it for money, you actually have this bond with your listeners and your peers and your other podcasters a little bit differently compared to those who are doing it professionally, I think.
Hmm.
Oh, what was that?
Well, I totally agree.
747?
The Pride 48 community is just that. It is a community. I love all the relationships that are both real and, let's say, propagated. The loves and likes and hates that we have amongst each other, whether they're for real or for fun. And when I post something on Twitter, I can get a response, as opposed to if I post something to some of what I call the more commercial. I don't like using professional. I like using commercial podcasts.
Yeah.
I often won't hear anything from them.
And when I say professional, it's just, you know, if they make money doing it. I'm mostly only doing podcasting and make money, and I don't. In fact, I go ahead.
How do you make money podcasting?
Sponsors.
Pretty much, it's sponsorship.
So you just have name drop a product every once in a while? Like, oh, look, Doritos.
Well, it depends on the circumstances. Some of them will be sponsored by particular businesses or maybe products. Other times they go out and they'll do events at the sponsor to promote them. It's a whole variety of things. But in order to get that sort of sponsorship, there has to be a certain level of listenership. And that's a whole other issue in itself, because some of the best shows are the ones that hardly anybody listens to. And the other way around, too. Some of the worst shows are ones that lots of people listen to, in my opinion. And that's certainly not.
Well, let's take the show I was using, for example, Ben and Dave Six Pack. They're actually in California right now because one of their sponsors, a gay travel company, has brought them out to California. So everything that they're doing is in all their official stuff is in regards to this travel company. So that's they're getting more or less, I think, a paid trip. I don't know. Maybe they're paying for part of it, but they're being supported out here by this gay travel company. Likewise, Six Pack and I know, let's see who else, Savage Love Cast, they are promoted by Audible.com. So if you can find a sponsor who'll support you, then it's really good for you.
I want to find a sponsor like sex toys. I want to be sponsored by adult lube.
Savage Love is sponsored by
Adam and Eve,
yeah. But here's the thing, though. I think I don't know. I have been approached a few times because Penang Hokkien was my more popular and more successful podcast compared to the other two, obviously. Anyway, but it's in a foreign country. But I've been approached a few times take up sponsorship and stuff. And I'm not at that point to be willing to do it. And I don't consider that selling out either, because I would probably hold it very close to what I would do the exact same thing. The problem is that I don't want to get to the point where I feel like I'm going to have to do a show. Like, even though I have not missed the show for the last 5 years, I've done one show every Monday for the last 5 years for Penang Hokkien. But I just don't, you know, if I don't feel like it, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to have the obligation. Yeah. I don't want to have that pressure. So I choose not to. I did start at so-called selling out a little bit. When the economy tanks, I started to put Google ads on my shows, on the latest few shows. And that would generate enough income for me a year to cover all my hosting costs and all that. So, which I'm happy.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. Because, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with sponsorship, full stop, personally. I don't happen to have any, but it doesn't mean that I wouldn't necessarily accept sponsorship or whatever if I was approached by somebody wanting to do that.
Yeah.
It's just unlikely that that would happen because don't have that number of listeners. And there have been times we've talked about, well, you know, is there some way that we could leverage this, you know, the whole Pride 48 thing with this group of podcasters who are all working together, if maybe there'd be some way that there could be like a group thing that would cover everybody. But, you know, that gets into a complicated thing because some of the shows a sponsor may not necessarily want to be on, or they might...
One show or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
True. But there's another thing that I was going to say, and I'm too old and I forgot. Anyway, next.
Join the club.
I should say I'm too full and I forget.
Yeah, I'm just old. That's my excuse.
Anyway, carry on. I'll think about it and I'll bring it up again. What were we talking about? What were we just talking about? Jesus, I already forgot.
Sponsorship.
I was going to mention. Something called, it was Gadgets 4 with the number 4, gadgetsforgays.com, but it looks like they're not up and running anymore. It was a website that sells all kinds of sex toys. I figured Donna would enjoy looking at that. But I get an error when I go to their webpage.
I wish I could be like the Kevin Smith podcast, Smodcast. Their sponsorship is Fleshlight. I bought enough of those. They should be my sponsor.
Lord Byron had a good comment in the chat room. Where he said, would you feel sponsorship would hamper your freedom of expression? I have an answer, but go for it, you guys.
I think it depends on the sponsor. I think it really depends on the sponsor. Now, if it was something that... Oh, God, it's hard to say. if it was sex toys for me, I'd have no problem saying, I love sex toys. Like, that's great. Like, I'm not going to sit there. I would never say, I hate sex toys. They're horrible. So it wouldn't affect me at all. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Someone else, go ahead.
Well, the only thing I can say is, for the sake of argument, if, say, Toyota approached me, yeah, right, about advertising, and that might make me feel like I shouldn't mention any other brand. But that doesn't mean I necessarily wouldn't. I mean, it's not like I talk about cars anyway, but that's probably not the best example. But my point is that if there was somebody who offered sponsorship, paid sponsorship, it might make me feel, not that I couldn't say anything bad about them necessarily, but that maybe I shouldn't be talking about their competitors.
True. Although Toyota really needs as many people to promote them as possible.
So. Yeah, maybe they should be a sponsor.
Yeah, but then I think we would find sponsors that we could, from our soul, promote.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that would be a problem.
Yeah. It's like for blogs, there's the Progressive Blog Ad Network or something. So you don't get, like Glenn Beck showing up on your site. It's always progressive things.
I don't know how to do it, but if I get money from him, I'll take it.
Well, that's true, too. Well, you know, a lot of people talk about that. They talk about how you should refuse contributions from bad people, but the Vatican, for a long time, used to willingly and gladly accept money from the mafia. And they would say, you take this money from an evil source and you turn it holy by doing good things with it. Whether they did or not is a whole other issue, but that was what they said. And I've always agreed with that.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Especially for activist groups, because gay activist groups run on the smell of an oily rag anyway. They don't have money to go do good work. And they're not in a position to be turning away money just because it comes from a disreputable source. But exactly. Some people think it's disreputable.
Oh, Ideologic is here.
Do you know Ideologic?
Yeah, he's an old listener and also a podcaster. Hi, Ideologic. Cool. Oh, I should probably tweet that I'm on your show. It's going to be like 5 hours now, right?
Hey, Arthur, I've got to go. I'm at rehearsal and my scene is about to come up.
Oh, okay. So thank you for joining us.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me on.
Bye.
John, it was nice meeting you. I'm going to download your podcast tonight, listen to him at work, and give him a try.
Give him a try. Don't worry, I won't be offended because I'm here too long already.
Go rehearse. Goodbye. I've heard parts of Ding the Bell before, and I think that might amuse me greatly. So
it's a lot of fun.
Excellent. And for Virgo and for Donna and for Arthur, it was wonderful talking to you all.
And you
same here. Hi, sweetie.
Take care.
And you all have a great night. Be sure there'll be an audio boo tonight about this.
Woo-hoo!
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
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 He's so sweet.
He is.
Lovely.
I want to
bring something up, too, to fill this silence while Arthur's doing something.
Yes, I'm tweeting.
I feel like also that every time there's a community like this, Pride 4, did you guys remember Arthur a long time ago, the Q Potter or something?
Oh, sure.
You know? Yeah. Anytime there's a community, they tend to be, every time there's people, they tend to be, politics and separation and this and that, right?
Yep.
So there will be people who feel like they belong to this group, and I've always, I don't know, maybe because I've been around too long or whatever, I haven't really been that close to anybody, but at the same time, I'm sort of close to everybody. Do you know what I mean? I'm not on somebody's show all the time. I kind of just do my own thing, but at the same time, I'm also friendly with everyone. But I've been seeing waves and waves. I'm sure you know about this, Arthur. Waves and waves of people fighting and such.
Yeah, I try to stay out of that, too.
Yeah,
to be honest. Too.
It's a waste of energy.
Yeah, well, that's actually, and most people know this, it's not a big secret. That's the main reason why I was the host of Pride 48 this year, because I get along with pretty much everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm not enemies with anybody as far as I know. And it's useful for a position like that, because I don't have people, keeping me at arm's length or not participating just because it's me or whatever it might be, and maybe hopefully can keep some of the conflict out of an event like that.
Now, are there people that I've never heard about any of these? Like, are there people within the Pride 48 community that just feud? Am I not listening to the right shows?
I don't think I don't think so
at the moment, anyway.
Yeah, because it's still fairly new. I'm not saying that, I'm not hoping that this would happen, but you know, when you have a group of creative, passionate creative people together, things sometimes may happen. It's just, from the inception of podcasting until now, I've seen many, many waves of dramas.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't want to be a part of that.
Because yeah, it's probably more dramas than feuds, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Yeah. And people take things too seriously.
Oh, yes.
I know. And I kind of know, you know, people put a lot of effort into their work, their podcasting. We actually, even if we don't do it for money, but we put a lot of our effort and our hearts into it. And so that's why it sometimes could be a reason, a cause for that sort of feud or drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I also think that the competition, you know, that's another thing. Yeah, I forgot. My cat distracted me. Hi, good night.
Yeah. You're completely right, John. And a lot of it, you know, it's just dramas. It's not necessarily real feuds. And I do think most of it comes from people just taking things too seriously and not just letting things go. And I also think you're right too about how it's got to do with people, creative people who are passionate. Because in my experience, it seems that the people who tend to get most carried away with things and take things the most seriously, too seriously, are the people who are more creative. And I don't know if it's because, I don't know why that is. I shouldn't even speculate. I've got no idea. I'm not a psychologist, unlike Daniel Brewer.
But yeah, that tend to be the case. And I just, you know, try to stay out of it as much as I can, because I was involved in the earlier waves. Well, not really involved, but I was probably closer to the earlier waves. And then I've seen enough to just know what to do. Just to step back and let the explosion go. And everything will be fine. Well, see, I'm still here. I'm not in pieces.
Exactly. And nobody else is.
Even though nobody listens, but that's another story.
Well, that's actually one of the strategies for dealing with some of those feuds and things. You just step away. And I mean, I don't listen to every single podcast under the sun. God knows.
I don't also. And I think I've already made it clear that, you know, and I do the same. I don't expect you to listen and don't expect me to listen to your show. And it took me a while to even follow, on Twitter. What's his face?
Who, Daniel Brewer?
Daniel Brewer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I following him now? Because here's the thing. I cannot. I want to, if I follow somebody, I want to be able to read what they tweet. And when I follow over 40, 45, 50 people, I can't do it. So I would have to then start, you know, weed out people, and then I'll add you back. I might add you back, but it's just hard for me to have more than 40, 50 people, I think.
Good God.
That's why I don't do it.
So now I delete people that are boring. So I used to follow people because they followed me just out of respect, and then they were really boring, and it's like, oh my God. And they would tweet the most ridiculous things, like trying to get me to give money to a charity. Oh, delete, delete, delete.
May I say one more thing also regarding the this whole competition and blah de blah within the podcasting community is the ego issue. We tend to, because it's like a sample, a taste of fame, I guess, because people know you and people follow you, people do this, people listen to you, that you don't know a thing about them, but they know almost everything about you. So people get the taste of fame, which is, you know, in a very, very micro scale, but that makes you think that you're better or more deserving than others very quickly. I don't know if I don't know about you guys, but I have definitely firsthand sample and tasted it when I went back to Malaysia and went back to Penang specifically. People are recognizing me on the streets, and that change that gave me a taste of being famous, and I liked the taste, and that is the problem. And when I came back here, when I came back to reality, when nobody knows me, it it sort of was like, I kind of wish that I'm famous again. So I've sampled that firsthand, and if you don't handle that carefully, that can easily turn into some big dramas. And I think that could be in one of the factors, too.
You all carry on for talk amongst yourselves for a moment. I'll be right back.
All right, okay. Arthur's going to go pee, so we're going to talk amongst ourselves. Come on, get
exactly. I just was going to be polite and not say that.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll be back.
Okay, let's talk about peeing.
So Dana, how many followers did you say, or how many people are you following?
Oh, goodness, let me see. Right now, I'm following 70 people.
Oh.
Wow, that's a lot.
But luckily, most of them don't tweet shit. Yeah. Don't tweet anything. So it's fabulous.
Right. See, I have 153 that I'm following.
Oh, God. Too much.
Yeah, but like, you know, like a lot of them are, you know, some of them are like news feeds. Like I just clicked on three of them now that sort of like gay rights news feeds and other stuff. So,
but anyway, I want to say hi to Ben. Ideologic. Hi, Ben. In the chat room. Sorry.
Well, hello, Ben. I don't know who you are, but hello.
He has a podcast.
Oh.
Ideologic.com, I think.
I have so many still on my iPod that I have to listen to. It's just, I used to commute long distances to work, and I could listen on the train or when I, you know, in a van, but now my commute is much shorter, and I don't get a chance to listen. So.
And I think another thing about, you know, I can say this as a senior podcaster is you kind of have to, of course you want people to listen to your shows, but at the same time, if they don't, you shouldn't, like, focus too much on it. I know it's been... It might be an issue, and some people might even get offended, especially among other podcasters, that, you know, you don't listen to me, why should I listen to you? Mm-hmm. You know, at some point, like, if you want to endure, if you want to go for a long time, you should just let it go now, and then, you know, so that it won't be an issue for you.
Yeah, I used to listen to, Cheryl Murkowski, and when she would podcast with Lady Raptastic.
I love Lady Raptastic. I wish she would do more shows.
And John, I would laugh hysterically in my seat. You know, I'd always try to get a single seat on the train. So if I was laughing like a fool, nobody would really even notice, you know. And I had to shut off the iPod a couple of times because I was just about to lose it, you know.
You know, I do that sometimes too. And I've done, at work, I put my headphones on, and I would listen to podcasts. And sometimes, I remember one time when I was listening to Lady Raptastic, and I forgot what she was talking about. She just said something really funny, as usual. She said something really funny. I was at the urinal, and there's another person next to me, and I started laughing out loud. I was like, oh shit, I don't know how to cover now. Like, but luckily I have my headphones on.
Yeah. And sometimes Madge Weinstein will do the same thing with Cheryl. They'll go off on a tangent, you know, especially now around Sylvia Brown. You catch yourself, like, you're about to, like, bust out laughing when there's all kinds of people around you. And, of course, they have no idea what you're listening to, so you just look like a total idiot.
Do you remember one time? I don't listen to Madge all the time, but not lately especially. Mm. There was one show when they were talking about when they were prank calling telemarketers or something, Carol Murkowski would say, like, Cheryl Murkowski would say, like, my name is Cheryl S. So, you know, he should use, try to think of the word for it to use, and that cracked me up, too.
They've called all kinds of people, and it's hysterical. Cheryl's really good at that, you know. When she was calling around for some kind of, like a motorized chair for Andy Melton. She's like, my friend's 450 pounds and his weight changes with every show.
Goodness. But crazy. So I want to ask. So let's see who else. I guess we have Donna Sugars has a show.
Yes.
Are you planning on a show? Vertigo.
Vertigo.
Are you planning on a show? Is that what in the book?
I am. I keep running into
So I'm a perfectionist,
I want to ask you guys, I mean, I guess, you know, even Donna Sugar is fairly new, right? Within the last 6 months, maybe?
Yeah, around that. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you started the show, what is your signature? I mean, do you have a signature? Like, this is my thing that I do, or not? And then also, who influenced you and who inspired you to do a show or start a show? We'll start with, we'll let Donna start. Oh my gosh, I just took over.
That's quite all right. Go right ahead.
Well, I know that I play World of Warcraft with Daniel Brewer. So when he said that he had a podcast, I'm like, oh, I want to hear it. And then he introduced me to Pride 48, and you kind of get sucked into something. And you start listening to these shows, and you're like, oh, I want to do this. So I started just kind of throwing it out there, and someone had to teach me how. But I don't think I have a signature. I know Daniel loves anytime I say penis, because he finds that funny, and some people love when I do like break into like Mrs. Garrett and stuff. But I don't think I have a particular signature that I do. But I don't know. Podcasting has been fun. It's like therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because I need therapy. So.
Yes.
Don't we all?
But Danny will be a good person to be inspired from or by, because he's very good. Technically, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've called him my fairy godfather a lot, because anytime I've ever had a question about anything, I've been going to Daniel, and I know Daniel probably gets so tired of that, but what are you going to do?
Indeed.
Exactly.
I've got his cell phone number. What's he going to do? Ignore my phone call? I'll keep calling.
Oh, did I tweet? No, I didn't. I was going to tweet that I was doing this, but I'm not going to anymore.
Yeah,
we probably won't. Probably ending.
Yeah, probably won't be going that long.
Can we just go on, though, even if we're not recording? We can just go on and chat, right?
Yeah, sure.
What time is it now there? Let me see.
You 1:13 p.m. here.
It is 6 o'clock here.
9:15 East Coast.
It's 8:13 Central. Look at us. We represented all the different...
Well, let's continue on with John's question, though. Veritable, since you're
still, that's right.
Still going to be podcasting, do you have any particular inspiration or... you don't have a signature yet, obviously.
Yeah, I don't have a signature. I don't have a shtick, if you will. And I'm not sure what really inspired me. I listened to a number of podcasts over the years. When you took your little break, we were sort of talking about other podcasters, and I started really listening to Madge Weinstein, East Radio, Cheryl Murkowski, Lady Reptastic, Pod is My Co-Pilot, then eventually ended up with Fall Monkeys, and I was on a Skype chat with Fall Monkeys one time when they tried to, you know, Skype somebody in, and Ricky sort of has some technical issues around that, and so he doesn't do it that often.
Mm.
And I said, you know, hey, I think this is something I'd like to do, and I've had my podcasting kit for about 2 years, and just finding the time, I think, to sit down and have like some clarity of thought as to what I really want it to be. I find myself sitting in front of the microphone and just really just ranting and raving about the day or the week. And I say, you know, I don't know that I would particularly want to listen to that if I was listening to to the podcast. So I don't post those things.
One of my, typically the show that I thought was like horrible that I almost not want to post is typically the one that people like.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't want to sit there and just sort of like bitch about, you know, what traffic has been like, and I can't say much about my job because a lot of what I do is confidential work with patients, so that's not really entertaining.
Yeah, I never talk about my professional life as well.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah,
I do. No one gives a shit about my job. I can say everything. I will leave the store and then talk shit about the store I was just in. I don't care.
In fact, my new employer had something, during our training that said you can't even link your Facebook page to the organization because they want to control that aspect of it too. You know, they're afraid people are going to post their drunk weekend party photos and people will think that that's the behavior of all the employees, which
in some way makes sense, but I think it's a little strong.
Yeah.
So
what
I
about
think
you, maybe, Arthur? Oh, sorry. Okay. Finish your thought.
Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, maybe for my first, I really just need to get some focus, and I might want to talk about, you know, maybe my favorite movies or something for my first show, and go from there. Because what I find is, even if I script something, I'm going off on these tangents.
Well, sometimes those are the most interesting things, though.
Exactly. Yeah. That's dinged about the whole show.
Yeah.
Ah, so maybe I'm on the right track.
Yeah, you usually have some general topics I'm thinking about talking about, and sometimes I don't even get to all of them. I just, as you say, go off on a tangent.
Yeah.
And people either listen or they won't, you know?
And let me tell you, like, I listen to podcasts that is typically known as the boring and horrible, like, doll show, and I'm still listening to it today. And for some reason, you just make a connection, and the connection stays, and it doesn't matter how other people think. That's why I'm saying, even if you think that's a horrible show, some people might actually find a connection. And I typically want to do, especially for those of us who are those who are not making money from it, you know, it's good to do something that is very human, very normal, so that people can actually genuinely relate. I think that's a thing that is missing from a lot of heavily produced shows that's lacking, that personal connection. So it could be boring, but as long as it's genuine and human, people will find a connection.
Yeah, well, you can always listen on 2x speed on your iPod, too.
I'm already high pitched. I'm almost afraid of what I would say.
Well, interestingly, it doesn't change the pitch. It just changes the speed. So, like, Big Fatty sounds pretty much the same, just much faster, which is actually a good thing. Trust me.
I was going to say, because Donna would sound like, I don't know, if you've ever watched any classic Star Trek episodes, but there was an episode where they time shifted and these people were like buzzing like flies around them.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw the original. Now, I'm a huge Trek nerd, but I am not a fan of the original.
The classic. I have not watched the classic episodes.
I have not. I'm sorry. Take away my
Arthur,
my
what
nerd.
About you, Arthur?
Well, my original inspirations are both now pod-faded. Mm-hmm. They were Jeffrey Taylor and the Gay Expat.
Oh, yeah.
And also Adam from This Boy Elroy.
Oh, yeah.
And then I found about Adam through Jeffrey, and I found about Honey through, as he is now, through Adam.
And oh, I see.
That was the progression. And then through all these people, I found out about other people. I think, John, I found out about you through Honey, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. And then various other people, QCast, I found out about through Honey, and Big Fat, well, the Little Fatty Cast then. It was also through Honey. So that became the branching out point, I guess. And Jeffrey in particular was a direct inspiration, because at the time he was living in Paris. And so he was another gay expat American. Well, his show was called The Gay Expat.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And so that was what sort of got me thinking that might be fun to do. And was kind of the original inspiration for what I did, because originally I was talking about being an expat in New Zealand and some of what that means and what being an expat means. But Jeffrey's sort of veer off from that as well, talking about other issues like existential philosophy and things. So I thought, oh, well, I guess I don't really have to stick to the main topic either.
So often when people pod fade, where do they go?
podcasting heaven.
Yeah. Okay.
Or hell.
As the case may be.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's the same place.
And what about you, John? Since you're one of the originals. How could you have had any inspirations?
My inspiration? Well, let's see. I've never thought about that. That's a good question. I listened to Adam Curry.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So at the very, very early stage, I think it's very early. It's before iTunes and everything. And so I learned about podcasting. Actually, my inspiration was probably coming from my, I guess, a combination. I read an article on Engadget. And from Engadget, I learned about podcasting. And then I just find out more about it and how to listen to them and all that. And then I am a singer, and I already have a bunch of audio equipment in my basement. And I'm also, when I went to school and college, my major was broadcasting. So I decided that, you know, I have all this equipment and I kind of sort of maybe possibly know what I'm doing. So I started doing it, and it's just kind of stuck. And then the thing is, at that same time, also very shortly, you know, Madge Weinstein and Wanda Wisdom and all these people pop up, and we just sort of bonded together and kind of formed this gay podcasters group. Yeah.
But yeah, I should mention too that Wanda Wisdom was one of the first ones that I listened to for a very long time.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, do you remember? I wrote a song for her. I wrote her theme song. I don't know whether she still uses the same theme song or not, but I wrote a theme song for her.
Is that the one? There's a drag queen named Wanda.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. I love that song.
And I produced the entire thing, but they have professionally reorganized the whole thing.
Wow.
For her. But yeah, I wrote and sang. With the funny thing was, I actually. The inspiration came in the shower, and I called her voicemail and left her this hook. That's this line that I thought about. I thought through in the car. I just called her. I said, "Before I forget, I'm gonna leave this for you." And then I sort of developed into the song. So, but it was fun. I loved doing stuff like that.
Yeah, you did that one great. for Chef Mark too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
you did one of my favorite lines about a personal chef without his cookware.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So yes. Must have been hard to rhyme some of those words.
But it came very naturally too, and it happened at very late at night. And I've been telling people, and people, I think after a couple of theme songs that I did, especially Wanda's, and people realized, and at that time, new podcasters would hint me to do something for them. But my problem is I'm not trained at all, and I'm a vocalist, but I don't write music very easily because I don't actually read music. So I'm gonna have to record it down and just, you know, tinker on the computer to make it work. But Chef's Mark's song just came so naturally, including all the accompaniment, and everything just came flow over this late night, and it all fell into place. So it's almost like a miraculous event. I don't necessarily know if I can actually recreate stuff, so I have to have my inspiration.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's fair enough. Mm. I mean, most creative people don't just create in a vacuum anyway.
Right.
But that's probably a good place to stop the recorded portion anyway. And I'd like to reiterate for the benefit of listeners and anybody who listens to the recording later, Honey from My Honey Wears Plaid and I will be roughly alternating on Thursday evenings, North American time. I believe he's taking the next 2 weeks, however. I know he's here on the 30th because that's when he's doing his book club show. But I believe he's doing next week as well. We haven't really talked about it. You know, I think we could have organized this in advance, but no, it doesn't work that way.
It's podcasting.
It is.
It's impromptu.
It is. It is indeed. But I would like to thank you all for joining me. And why don't we do what Honey always does as well, and give you the opportunity to plug or promote whatever you'd like to. And let's start with Donna. Donna Sugars.
Oh, fabulous. Well, BigSillyHomo.com. I just got a phone number, so I'm so excited. I wasn't prepared. I have a phone number now. I was just like, so excited to have it because it took me forever to get one. It's 206-600-4309. So call Donna Sugars at BigSillyHomo.com. Kisses.
Thank you, Donna. And Veritable Virgo?
You can find me at veritablevirgo.net, website and blog. I also have a listener line, 774-955-0703. And be on the lookout for podcast Veritable Voices.
Very Yay. Good. You have a listener line before the actual podcast. That's more organized than I was.
Yeah, it was a Google number. I just grabbed it and I said, you know, and I've put it out there a couple of times asking for people to just, you know, leave questions or whatever, and so far nobody's done it.
Okay.
except one. You know, like Google does the translation of your voicemail. So I did get a voicemail, and I was all excited, and I looked at it, and it was something in Spanish.
Maybe it was legit. You should use your translator that you talked
about.
Well,
and the translation translated it in English, and it was completely all jumbled, different words. It was quite hysterical, actually.
Fun.
And John?
You can find me on podcast.johnong.com, and all my show would show up there. Let me check and see if it's correct. podcast.johnong.com, and all my podcasts will be on there. And I have a very bitchy phone number. It's 920 iPhone 1. There you go. I love
Very good.
Thank you for having me.
It was great to have you, and hopefully you'll be back on a future Amarin's podcast as well.
I would love to.
That would be lovely. Well, again, thank you, everyone, and I'm going to stop the broadcast now and be here this probably earlier, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time next Thursday for either Honey or me. I'm not sure who it'll be, but somebody will be here.
And let's say a big thank you to all the folks that joined us in the chat room.
That's right.
Indeed.
Thanks. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amarin's Podcast at amarinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amarinspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.